For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, of course, Chiefs Bucks tonight at Arrowhead. You can hear the game on 96.5 The Fan right here. Your home for the Chiefs, your home for Kansas City sports. Mitch, Dane, and Kling, Dan Israel on the call, 4 o'clock pregame. Get you set for this one. Chiefs 9.5-point favorites, trying to get to 8-0 on the season before they go back to the AFC West next week, taking on the Broncos.
Pretty big game, it would seem like, for the Bucks, who try to stay. The NFC's wide open. There's going to be some weirdo. There's going to be like a lot of 9-8 teams down
Falcons
there in that final spot.
Could start to distance themselves in their division if the Bucks go down tonight, just slightly. Otherwise, it'll be still a two-horse race there.
Kirk Cousins has been playing really well. Next up on Watch Street, Kansas local college basketball starts tonight.
Yeah.
Kansas against Howard tonight at 7. Kansas State at New Orleans at 7. MU at Memphis at 7. And UMKC takes on Hannibal LaGrange at 6 o'clock.
That's the matchup I can't wait for. It starts at 6. It's early. It's before the Chiefs game.
Get it before the Chiefs game, dude.
Is that even available to stream anywhere? Is there
ESPN Plus, maybe?
I don't even know if that's an ESPN Plus-er. I don't know. But that's the one.
The other
locals are playing right at the start of the Chiefs game. Sorry. Not going to be watching Kansas against Howard or K-State against New Orleans. Mizzou at Memphis is interesting. But again, same time. Same time as the Chiefs game. Sorry. It's also November 4th.
I can't pay attention to college basketball until conference play. Regularly, right? Mm-hmm. Big game here or there. Kansas, North Carolina.
January,
let's talk.
Then.
Conference play. That's when I started locking in.
Next up on What's Trending, Bobby Wood Jr. and Seth Lugo each taking home Gold Glove Awards yesterday. That's, of course, the first one for Bobby Wood Jr. Also, Bobby Wood Jr. and Salvador Perez, finalists for the Silver Slugger Award. Keep getting some more hardware for Bobby Witt.
I think Bobby Witt is going to win that, so he'll be a Gold Glove winner, a Silver Slug Award winner in a 30-30-30 season.
And going to finish second in MVP probably,
Salvi too. Probably, too. He had a great offensive year, especially at catcher. That's less competition, at least on that end. But good for Bobby Witt Jr. and Seth Lugo. Royals had 4 nominees, got 2 Gold Gloves out of it. Not bad. I also saw that Frank Mazzucato won the minor league Gold
he
Glove.
He did.
First in Royals history.
First for a pitcher, yeah. Yes. First for a pitcher in Royals history in the minors.
Not bad. Next up on Watch Trading, Dennis Allen was officially let go by the Saints this morning after losing his 7th consecutive game yesterday. He's now been fired as a head coach twice in the NFL. Both times Derek Carr was his quarterback at the time of his firing. The Raiders have also let go of their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, after their 2-7
Who could
starts.
Have seen the Luke Getsy thing being a problem?
He wasn't good at the last time.
He was bad in Chicago. Then they brought him in to coach Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. What did you think was going to happen with that offense? He's the first scapegoat there with the Raiders. Unless they just don't want to pay 2 head coaches at once. Antonio Pierce likely will get fired too, but they're already paying Josh McDaniels, so maybe Antonio Pierce keeps his job somehow because of that. Otherwise, this is just the first step there in Las Vegas before they kind of blow that whole thing up.
Can I take the shortest, saddest victory lap? Dennis Allen hiring.
You're
from
so
the
happy today about Dennis Allen
it
getting fired.
It was such a stupid hiring. He was one of the worst coaches historically in NFL history. They bought all the way in. Signed their quarterback, made a million moves, mortgaged the future, and then put it all in the hands of Dennis Allen? I mean, that was just dumb. That's just bad footballing. Anytime you wonder if you would be the worst NFL GM if they gave you the job today, no. The answer is no. I'd have done a better job at hiring than that dude did.
Yeah, they just went with the easier place when he was already in-house as a defensive coordinator when Sean Payton left. He has not been good, but I also think, you know, we're acting like he's the worst. 7-10, 9-8, and now 2-7. Not great, but also 9-8 last year would already put him in much better category than some of these other coaches. He should be fired, but, you know, we're acting like Dennis Allen's the worst head coach of the last 5 years is just not accurate. There's been way worse. That's how bad coaching has been
Josh McDaniels.
In the NFL. McDaniels, Nathaniel Hackett,
I said McDaniel stunk too.
Vance Joseph for the 1 year that he was. There's a lot of guys that are great. Fangio, great coordinators. Vic Fangio, great coordinator. Just struggle to be a head coach.
I'd rather have Fangio than
Vance Joseph is back in Denver now, doing a nice job as a defensive coordinator. Yeah. Wasn't a good head coach. Romeo Crennel, great coordinator. Not a good head coach.
Went ahead and looked it up. Dennis Allen has the third worst winning percentage for a qualified head coach in NFL history.
And Derek Carr has been the quarterback both times he was fired. Ironically enough.
Stinks.
By the way, Cody.
Now everything is solved for the Saints. All good. It's all his fault. They're fine now. They're going to start winning games.
Yeah, they're going to put Rattler in.
Don't think so.
Derek Carr, that's a mess in New Orleans. You got former wide receivers Michael Thomas calling out Derek Carr for, you know, Colin Saunders, former Chief, acting like he should play quarterback, at least it'd be entertaining. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. What are you saying, Drew?
Unless you have Midco Sports Plus, you will not be able to watch UMKC.
Oh, we did have it during the Summit League Championship last year.
Oh, well, you might be able to watch it then.
I don't have an active account anymore. I was borrowing someone's account. I had that so we could watch UMKC.
I'm going to get us a login so we can watch UMKC.
Against Hannibal LaGrange?
Uh-huh.
Isn't the game at home? Why don't you just go, Cody? Mr. UMKC.
I'll be on campus.
Why don't you go?
It's a Chiefs game, dude. And my class technically is before the class starts.
Oh, so you'll cancel. Hold on. You'll cancel class for the Royals, but you won't cancel class for the university's team.
We left early for the Royals. Mm-hmm. I notably did not cancel class. Maybe I should just let them out early. I've already had three students tell me they have to go cover it.
I don't think your
paper.
Students will go to the game, though, unless they're covering it for the student paper.
Three of them are. Three of them have already requested to.
We got to find a game. We're going to go to a UMKC game this year.
It's not LaGrange.
No.
Not tonight. Not a Monday night football for the Chiefs.
I don't think so.
Can I bet on that one? What's the?
There's way. That is.
Like, relax. They're a Division One team. You don't think I can bet on UMKC?
No, the issue is the team they're playing.
Hannibal LaGrange is
the issue is the team that they're playing, Cody.
Hmm.
Oh, that might be the problem.
Setting a line on that does, and it seems like it would be challenging, admittedly. So.
If you're betting on that game, you're like down bad almost, too. I mean, you're.
Maybe I just feel like I know more than the other people, you know? No available bets at the moment on UMKC on at least one side.
They're an NCCAA team. They're lower than NAIA. Yeah.
Missouri is a 4.5-point underdog to Memphis tonight. KU is a 26.5-point favorite against Howard. K-State, New Orleans, I don't think that's... I haven't seen that one.
Tomorrow.
Oh, it is tomorrow, sorry.
That would be why.
Last thing for an additional what's trending.
Okay.
Obviously, they confirmed Eric Hall Jr. for the Bengals did tear his ACL.
That's tough.
And also Zach Taylor saying Zach Moss is out indefinitely due to his neck injury.
Chase Brown was great yesterday when he got all those carries. I know, Cody, you were saying they just need to feed Chase Brown. He had 27 carries yesterday.
And then, like, week two. I don't know what the hell took so long.
I don't know either.
I think Chase Brown is on my guillotine league team, which is surviving another week, Gold. Yeah.
Still around.
Surviving. We lost Drew week two. You and I are still kicking around, man.
We're still around in that. That is true. All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we'll get back into a couple names that are floating out there for the trade market ahead of the deadline tomorrow for the Chiefs, 3:00 deadline. That's coming up in just a bit. But Michael Wacha signed a 3-year deal with Kansas City to stay with the Royals. We had Vern in studio with us earlier today. If you missed that, you can check out the podcast on the Odyssey app in the 11:00 hour of the show. There was a sense of confidence, it felt like, anytime we talked to anybody with the Royals organization about Michael Wacha staying here. They were confident that he enjoyed his time in Kansas City. They obviously were confident they could find some financial ways to make this happen. I think the third year, of course, is the key here. He was going to opt out otherwise because he was going to get more money on the open market. 3 years, $51 million is the reported dollar amount from Jeff Passan. If they exercise the club option in year four, that would be pretty stunning, but I guess they could. Then it would all of a sudden be over $70 million. I would be absolutely shocked if the club option ended up getting exercised in 4 years from now.
He'd have to be pretty good.
It would be pretty wild if that was the case. But I love that he's back. He was sensational. I think in the second half, he might have been their best pitcher, actually, in the rotation, that is. You get him back. We know about the leadership aspect of this. And now your rotation, 1 through 3, and if you want to extend it out to 4 with Brady Singer, we know what that meant to this team a year ago. We know that's the biggest reason, along with Bobby Wood Jr., why they had the turnaround from 56 wins to getting into the postseason, to winning a postseason series.
It certainly comes with a risk. Similar to that is, like, because it's probably a really close dollar amount to, like, the Ian Kennedy deal, which eventually blew up in Kansas City's face. But Walk has been a far more consistent big league player. He was consistent for you this year. He's been identical in three consecutive seasons since coming back from the injury when he was like 27 years old. This is a win. I don't know how this isn't a win. Obviously, Waka's fine. He had just had to sign a one-year deal. The Royals had to add the option year to convince him. There was no other team in baseball willing to give him 2 years last year, or he wouldn't even have been a Royal.
Yeah, it is similar to a year ago in that regard, where I don't know if there was another team that was willing to give him three. So they give him three this year. Last year, they gave him two. People were worried about the option year when they signed last December,
and
January.
They happily just had him pick it up.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not worried about the years. If you're asking, hey, can he be effective for three more years? I'm not as concerned about that because we had the same conversation when they gave him the second year last year. And also, when you take a look at the financial situation, I agree with Vern. It's like, hey, it's not my money. If they're willing to pay 3 years from now the $17 or $18 million,
even if he's not a good player, yeah,
then,
which he might be.
But we're talking about for this year and next year in particular. You're coming off a playoff appearance, so now can you back that up? And I thought you brought up, you know, a good point, which is they don't have enough guys to replace two spots in the rotation. I say two because if you lost Waka, then Singer becomes your third and you're looking at a fourth and a fifth starter internally, unless I guess you went and signed another free agent. Now you know that you're only asking yourself, unless you trade Brady Singer, to fill the fifth spot. And that'll be a bunch of different names likely competing for that, whether it's Bubich, Lynch. If they still believe Lynch is a starter, I think he's a bullpen guy at this point. But Bubich, Lynch, Kyle Wright, some other in-house candidates. Maybe they'll bring in some other vet in February. They'll sign some random veteran and bring him in just to have some competition. I don't know. Stuff like that. That's much different than asking to fill the fourth and the fifth spot.
I think it's really important. So if they're serious about winning, which I thought last offseason proved that they were, John Sherman put his money where his mouth was, right? He said he wanted a wild card team. He gave Bobby Wood Jr., one of the richest contracts in baseball history, certainly the richest contract in Royals history by a factor of like five times. So like way above anybody they had paid Salvi, I think, to that point. Like $80 million was the highest contract they had paid. Gave the money for Waka, gave the money for Lugo, gave the money to win. How did they win last year? Go real quick, recap the Royals season for anybody who missed it. What was the single biggest reason the Royals went to the postseason?
James MacArthur. No, it was
the starting rotation. Correct. MacArthur hurt there towards the end. Helped in the beginning, though.
Yes, he did.
I'd like to make note of that now. But when you look at it, it was the starting rotation. So now what you've done is, if you choose to do nothing else the rest of this offseason, you are the exact same team you were last year. Same starting rotation, same starting lineup. Same players who got you there will be back again next year. You are no worse on paper than you were last year. Would you like to get better? Yes, you would. But I think the bullpen is better. But from a rotation and a starting rotation and from a starting lineup perspective, you're the same now that you bring Waka back. And I think that that's massive.
No, it's a huge deal. That was their number one priority, and they got it done. You know, that's a credit to John Sherman once again. It's a credit to J.J. Piccolo. We'll talk about the options this gives them in the 1 o'clock hour, because I do think, and I see it on the text line, and we'll get there at 1 o'clock, which is, well, what does this mean for the outfield? Does this give them a trade asset? Hey, that's all. Maybe. It's all in play. I mean, it's pretty clear. If the number one priority was bringing back Waka, the number one priority now is finding a leadoff bat. Is that available? And you know, we had Vern on. The issue is there's not a ton of open spots unless you move somebody.
Unless you're going to move MJ Melendez.
Correct.
Or move Kyle.
Because Hunter Renfro last week opted in to his player option. He's taking advantage of that. Why not? Yeah. Good money for him. So you're not messing with that spot. So you're really talking about, would you move
Are you moving on from Mikel Garcia? Are you moving on from MJ Melendez? Are you trading those people away and then bringing and then also paying Alex Bregman whatever the hell it takes?
Something tells me that will not happen.
Okay, Santander.
Something tells me that I would love that, but that may not happen. I do know the organization. I think
Teoscar Hernandez. Who's your dream?
What?
Jurickson Profar. You want me to give you a reasonable answer?
Profar's my guy.
That's your reasonable
answer. Well, he would be a platoon guy. He could play anywhere. He could platoon with Renfro and MJ Melendez. Yeah, he can play basically anywhere. No, I do not think Alex Bregman is coming to the Kansas City Royals. Don't think so.
Why not?
That's less
ridiculous than if I had said Juan Soto.
I think that's really realistic, actually.
Alex Bergman's
He said he's open to any team. Did you hear that post-game comment? He's open to any team. Someone said, do the Yankees have, paraphrasing, like an inside path or something? He's like, no, I want to talk to every team. So, you know, get it done. Get it done.
Bergman's one of those guys that if he's not on your team, you hate him. Just I think
just from
yeah,
he's arrogant, but
all the Astros stuff as well. Mm-hmm. He comes across as that sort of.
The Royals and the Astros got a little bit of a history.
No, Alex Bregman won't be here. I would obviously love him as a baseball player in Kansas City. Duh.
But you're not willing to predict that.
I'm not. Are you?
No.
Are you?
No.
Juan Soto, better chance of coming here, actually. Yeah.
Juan Soto has a better chance?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine, like, just for 1 minute?
No, I can't imagine.
Could you imagine a world in which John Sherman decided he was just going to be the highest bidder on Juan Soto, and then tomorrow we're like, breaking news, the Royals are giving Juan Soto $650 million to play outfield for them. I'd be like, what?
That'd be insane.
What the hell happened here? What world is this? I'd be worried I got concussed and that I was suffering from a medical emergency that was making me delusional.
Yeah, it would definitely be a dream. That's all it's going to ever be. It's going to be a dream. You'll be dreaming of that show, that moment.
It's a pipe dream at this point.
That's all you're dreaming.
At this point, I just want Stan for a playoff run. I don't even need regular season Stan.
He was incredible.
He's so good in that playoff run. But, I mean, they lost, which brings me joy. You know what? The Royal season ended not the way you want it, right? You want them to win the World Series, not lose.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees still being even longer than the Royals since their last World Series. That warms my heart, though. That will, like, when the sun goes down at 5:05 tonight, I'll still be warm knowing that the Yankees lost in the World Series. Yeah. They got kind of embarrassed by the Dodgers.
Well, the fifth inning was terrific. Fifth inning, Aaron
One
Judge can't catch
blew
a fly.
The entire thing.
Aaron Judge couldn't catch a fly ball, and Garrett Cole doesn't cover first. And oh yeah, it was entertaining. It really was. All right, let's talk more about the NFL from yesterday because it was one of those nice days. Maybe you were out and about with your family and everything, but also it was a great red zone day because the Chiefs weren't playing. So if you're watching NFL Red Zone and some of the things that went down, it's very clear in case you needed confirmation on it. Watching the late afternoon game at Lambeau where the Lions went into Lambeau Field and beat up on the Packers. It's pretty clear the Lions and the Chiefs are easily the two best teams in football. I don't know how there's any debate. And honestly, if somebody wants to say that the Lions are a better football team right now, I'm not going to argue with you. Now, I would say like it doesn't really matter because you won't play them in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs are undefeated. But the Lions right now look like the most impressive team all the way around. The difference is the Chiefs, I think, have some wiggle room to get better. I think the Lions are like they're peaking.
This now, is as good
that,
as
that's
they
the
are.
Only danger I would have. Like this is as good as you're going to get, and it's pretty damn good. But this is as good as it's going to get for the Lions. I know what their best looks like. This is it right now.
I guess yesterday was funny because there were so many just like ass kickings of bad teams. I didn't think too much of it. Like I don't want to make too much of like the Bills almost losing to Miami because divisional games are weird, you know, and so.
Dude, favorites just dominated yesterday. I think 13-1 was the record for favorites.
Just straight up?
Straight up favorites. So it was just a heavy day with what were perceived to be the better teams in football all won yesterday, except for Dennis Allen's Saints, and he lost to the Panthers and got fired.
My biggest takeaway might be that Eberflus's got to be fired now. Like, just get the hell out of this.
I think they'll wait all year. He's not going to get fired midseason because they're not going to be like a 4-win team, which is what they currently sit at. I've told you, I think the best thing that could happen for the Bears, Caleb Williams gets them like 7 or 8 wins, so they're on the right track. They fire him, and they bring in Ben Johnson to be their head coach next year.
I hadn't realized it. This is the third straight quarterback, the first-round quarterback that they have left the previous coach in place for. I'm like, what the hell? Have you not learned a single lesson? They just leave Fox around for, you know, they just leave whoever around, right, for Mitch Trubisky, and then just leave the next guy around for Justin Fields to mess up, and then, well, Eberflus been no good. Let's just leave him around for Caleb Williams. Stop doing that. Like, at what point is an organization, and this goes down to Ryan Poles probably, but like, at what point is an organization do you not realize that plan stinks? And I would probably stop doing it. No, no, like, that part of it, sometimes I just don't understand NFL teams. The only other one that stood out to me, by the way, on the entire slate was probably Vikings-Colts, because I thought there for a second, I thought the Colts had a chance to be a good playoff team, and the Vikings seemed like they were in the middle of reeling. They got to win. Like, that one felt like, okay, Colts still can't win with Joe Flacco consistently, and the Vikings are better.
The Vikings, remember that one of the losses was to the Lions in a nail-biter as well. I think the Vikings are fine.
I just thought if they lost three in a row, they would have been reeling, yeah.
Going into the game, I think the Colts are better off with Joe Flacco. Did not like the matchup going into last night's game. We talked about it last week on the betting show. That was not a good matchup, given the fact that Brian Flores blitzes as much as anybody in football. That's not what you want if you're Joe Flacco, and they're actually capable of executing that way. I think Flacco will get the Colts in the playoffs still, but that was not a game in which I expected them to cover either, and they didn't. So I wasn't surprised by last night's result.
How many of the current AFC playoff field do you actually think is making the playoffs?
So
the teams that are in the seven spots right now.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the Ravens are obviously going to be a playoff team.
Chiefs, Ravens, Bills.
But the Ravens are not leading their division. I'm talking wild card. So yeah. I take the division. I'm talking just wild cards. I think whoever's leading.
But you might think the Steelers aren't making the playoffs.
I mean, that's a pretty bold take. If you think the Steelers are going to fall off enough to not make the playoffs at all, dude, they're already at six wins. That would be a catastrophic collapse.
The remaining schedule real quick. Commanders, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals.
That ain't easy.
No, but they're a six-win team. Like, we're acting like the Cincinnati game is tough. One team has four wins, one has six. I know you had that memorized for a reason, Drew. I know why you had that memorized. I would say, overall, though, the wild card teams, because that, to me, I thought we were talking about, is Chargers.
Ravens, Chargers, Broncos right
now. Yeah, Broncos are out. Colts are in.
Other than that, you think it's the same?
Yep.
Okay. I definitely think the Chargers are making it. The Colts, I'm not as convinced on.
Is the
I actually borderline
out?
Could, like, funny enough, I've been the biggest hater of all of them. Based on schedule, I could borderline talk myself into the Jets before I talk myself into the Colts. Jets' schedule's soft.
Are we sure the Chargers, though? Like, is the jury not still out on them? Their last four, Broncos, Cardinals, Saints, Browns.
Yeah, the difference for them, though, is they're already at five wins, though. They already have a win. They have a leg up on a couple of these. They have one more win than the Colts. They have one more win than the Bengals.
They have a stretch. So they play the Titans next week. Then it's Bengals, Ravens, Falcons, Chiefs, Buccaneers.
Okay.
Bucks is winnable. Cincy's winnable.
I think we're going to learn a lot about. I mean, if they can get through that stretch 3-2, I guess.
Then
I think they're in. I mean, that stretch is the key one for them.
Yeah, I just think it's funny how, like, we all do this. Whenever we, I'm obviously. I think the Colts are making the playoffs. So obviously I'm trying to make a case for them, and you're making a case for whatever. That's how we all do this. I just think it's funny. We bring up the schedule for, let's say, the Colts or whatever. We're like, I don't know about that stretch. And then I'm like, then I look at Cincinnati. It's like, well, they have the Ravens, Chargers, Steelers, Cowboys, and Titans. I can say the exact same thing about them. And be like, why is the Colts schedule so tough when we say theirs?
I thought the Colts schedule was a little bit easier.
Or the Chargers. But then when I bring up Cincy's, it's like, oh, well, those aren't, it's not that bad.
I mean, those are three bad teams. That stretch isn't that bad.
I just think
but
it's
the Steelers twice.
When you look back at who they've beaten, who the Chargers have beaten, is that 5-3 a legit 5-3 just the same as much as is the Bengals 4-5 a legit 5-5?
But again, one team has five wins, one has four.
I know, but it's one extra win. It's not that
big.
Well,
we're talking about the final wild card spot, maybe.
I just think if we're judging the team based on what we've seen, are we sure that they're?
I think the Chargers are also a much better coach team. How about that? Like, I just think
that's fair.
Raiders, Panthers, Broncos. I mean, those are as equally as bad as the other ones you just mentioned from a wins. Saints, Browns. I mean, it's not a good resume.
I'm just, no. I just in terms of are the Chargers a playoff team?
No, but one of these
convincingly yes. I don't know if it's.
But one of these mediocre ass teams is going to be a seven seed.
Oh yeah.
Like, just one of these Colts, Chargers, Broncos, Bengals, Jets. One of these mediocre-ass teams is going to be the seventh seed. I mean, we know that.
If you're just looking at the team on paper, the Jets should absolutely be the team that you're taking. If you're just looking at paper and picking, okay, which team looks the best, it's the Jets.
Wait, looks the best after 1 week?
Well, no. I'm saying if you're looking at if you're comparing rosters, the Jets should be the team that make the playoffs because of who they got.
Should be. I don't know. I mean, I'm not buying them after one.
Obviously, they're a little bit of a mess, but...
They also have maybe the easiest schedule remaining, so we'll see.
All right, coming up next, what about the trade deadline? Tomorrow in the NFL, that is tomorrow afternoon, latest report on who the Chiefs could be targeting.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's next? Back here on Cody and Gold. Game day in Kansas City, of course, tonight's game right here, 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear Mitch Holthus, Dane and Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel on the call, 4 o'clock pregame as the Chiefs welcome in the Tampa Bay Bucks for Monday Night Football. Some of you that are going to get out there early tailgating, definitely got to have the old tent set up for this one. It is going to be a downpour. I know some of the meteorologists this weekend were saying that there's a chance during tailgating, some thunderstorms, some lightning and stuff. So be safe out there before tonight's game there in the parking lot. Tickets continue to dip. I don't know if you have checked any of the ticket pricing in the last 24 hours or so.
I haven't.
It keeps going down. This is, I don't know if this is with fees or not. Just to get in the building, $81.
Well, that's pretty cheap for a Monday Night Football game.
7-0 football team. It's the weather. I get it. It's the weather. The biggest reason for that. But those are dipping down, man. It gets to a point where you're like, man, even with the weather, you're like, that's not a bad price. Okay, with fees, we're talking $102 with fees. So $100 a ticket just to get in the building. Looks like there's some lower levels for like $175 with fees, $170 lower level corner. So if you haven't been to a Monday Night Football game and you're willing to brave the weather a little bit, and it's been far worse before, then tonight's a good night to maybe head out to Arrowhead.
Maybe get a little extra time out there. Maybe there'll be a weather delay. You never know.
Well, that's happened a couple of times on Monday Night Football. Like that's a good thing. You don't want none. You said that like that's a good thing. Oh, maybe
for the person who's going, maybe they, you know.
No, you don't. A little extra time at Arrowhead. It's a work night and a school night. No, you don't want a weather. Oh, you might get a weather delay. No, you don't want a weather delay. That's the biggest fear I have with tonight. I don't want a weather delay. We're going to be sitting here and the game's going to start even later. No, nobody wants that.
I'll make a deal. If there's a weather delay, then when I get out of class, since I'll be on campus, I'll at least watch over and catch some of the first half of that Ruse game. You know, I'll be right there at UMKC.
Someone says, chill with the weather talk, guys. Watch the radar, please.
What time does your class end? 6?
6:30. It's supposed to end at 6:30. Usually ends around 6:15, 6:10. Kind of depends on the day.
100% chance of rain. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 70% 4 o'clock. Stops at 5, then 37% at 6, 7, or 58% at 7. So chill with the weather, Ty. I don't know if the person, like,
he's got tickets for sale. He's not trying to get his tickets.
Maybe that's what it is.
He doesn't want to go. That's what it is. Tickets sold.
Yeah. Someone says, because of the weather, I got a free ticket from work. I'm not saying no to free. It's free for them. Go for it. Why not?
Yeah, I'm not here to complain.
All right, let's talk about what could happen tomorrow, too. Maybe tonight impacts this, but tomorrow's the trade deadline. In the NFL, 3 o'clock our time, I believe, is the way the time zones work for the trade deadline tomorrow. And Diana Rossini over at The Athletic is saying that the Chiefs aren't maybe done with wide receiver. Quote, the Chiefs still might not be done if a wide receiver falls into their laps. I'm told they're going to try to land another one with Sky Moore on injured reserve. She also mentioned that Steve Spagnuolo has maybe been talking to Brett Veach a little bit about what he would like. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo would love for Veach to get him a young, fast corner. Kansas City trying to land the final pieces on its mission to a three-peat. That's from Diana Rossini over at The Athletic, and I think you should feel really good about that. Who knows if they pull off a trade or not, but if you were wondering if they were done, if you're wondering they weren't going to be aggressive, no. They're trying. They're interested. And, man, if you could add a depth piece at corner for a future 6th, 7th round pick or another wide receiver for another 6th or 7th round pick, those are deals I will make every single time. I don't think I'd be stunned if they make a trade involving like a 3rd or something. They've been pretty consistent steadfast. Yeah. On not giving up day one, day two picks. I think that will continue if they get another deal done by the deadline tomorrow.
So there are obviously some interesting names. Wide receiver all feel a little expensive, unless it's a guy you just don't know. Like it'll be some guy further down a depth chart. If we're talking a 7th round pick, some guy who's got 190 yards for his team and has finished 420 yards in the best season at any point during his career. It feels like it's that level. If it's corner, I could see it going a little bit higher. One of the people that Diana Rossini mentioned over the weekend as well that they've had a conversation with is Marshawn Lattimore. I looked it up because earlier we were having the conversation about how much he cost.
Yeah, somebody tagged us.
Yeah, SpotTrack put out the numbers. The acquiring team would have to pay only $605,000 this year to acquire Marshawn Lattimore. They would owe him $18 million in non-guaranteed money next year and $18.5 million that's non-guaranteed in 2026. So the Saints would still wear about half of that for you if you were looking to say, I need corner. But here's the thing. I don't know that if they trade for a corner, I need something long term. Nobody in the entire NFL has done a better job drafting and developing corners than the Chiefs. So do I really want them buying up a corner that they're on the hook for 3 seasons? I don't see the point. They could just walk.
Does Xavier Howard make more sense then for that conversation? A little bit older. He's 31.
How much is he owed?
Xavier Howard's a free agent. Guys.
I was going to say he is.
Xavier Howard's a free agent. Are we really? I mean, wouldn't they have already brought him in? You know what I mean? Or are they waiting to see if they can't get anybody at the deadline? Otherwise, he's been on the street for a reason. He also has some off the field baggage. That's another reason why. You can do a little Google search on that if you would like. For those listening on why there's some stuff. He was sued this past summer for some stuff involving a teenager, allegedly. So that might be part of why he's not signed.
You think?
Yeah.
Think that might be an impact, at least on it?
Yeah. Again, he's just accused of it. Not saying we know
if he did
it. Is
Marcus Peters still on a team, or is he also a free agent as well? I'm just thinking of guys that are...
But any of these free agent guys, like, wouldn't they have just brought him in already?
I think they might have just been like, well, let me see if somebody can step up so we don't have to go in. Like, this is like the last... If they go and get a corner, it's almost not... Not that they're forced to do it, but it feels like, okay, we went through all of our options. Now we need to sign somebody or trade for somebody because the options that we have didn't work out.
Like, I'm thinking about the players. I see KJ Osborne or Tyquan Thornton.
I think Tyler Boyd would be interesting, too.
If they get another wide receiver, it is going to be of that ilk. It's going to be Tyquan Thornton, a Kansas City Chief, for a provisional 7th-round pick. The acquiring team owes him $600,000, and next year he's owed $1.6 million if you keep him. Like, that's where the level of move, if they're going after a wide receiver. I actually think I would prefer they make a move for corner gold, but I think the wide receiver one is way easier to make. There are not that many eligible corners available for trade.
Tyler Boyd has got 184 yards. I think he signed, was it a one-year, five-year deal? I know that Chiefs fans were...
Yeah, in the offseason, I was interested.
Does that scare you that he only has 184 yards? I mean, he plays on the Titans.
Will Levis and Mason Rudolph are his quarterback.
You heard the report. Titans. They're looking for a Sky Moore replacement, man. 184 yards, perfect. That's like his career high.
He's one of the most reliable pair hands in the league.
The fifth receiver for this team all of a sudden. So, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to the compensation. I'm not giving up anything more than like a 5th-round pick at this point for anybody. I already acquired DeAndre Hopkins for a conditional 5th, could be 4th. It is late-round pick stuff now, and maybe even 2026 to make it happen. That's kind of where I would be at if I'm going to go acquire anybody. I would be really surprised if they gave up anything better than that. Otherwise, to me, they stand pat.
Do you actually think they make a move?
I do. Yeah, I think there's too much noise.
Too active.
There's a lot of noise, whether it's Diana Russina reporting or Nate Taylor last week joined us, and he'll also join us tomorrow right ahead of the deadline. When Nate said, I know, I was like, are they going to make a move? And he's like, well, I don't know if they'll get the deal done, but he's like, I know they want to, though. So that there's way too much noise. They're pretty aggressive out there. I think some of it depends on tonight in a weird way. Like, if suddenly tonight was a stunning result and there was another injury or something, that changes everything, you know, is this Joshua Williams in the secondary, does he have a good night or does he struggle? If DeAndre Hopkins has a huge night and suddenly, just pick another wide receiver, you know, if all of a sudden Mecole Hardman comes up big again or Xavier Worthy does that change their thinking? All that can play a role other than the obvious injury stuff.
So we've made a huge deal about when they acquired D-Hop for the logical reasons. And then we started making guesses as it excited a little bit for Uche's debut?
Yeah, why not? I mean, sure.
Little juice?
It's never going to be as exciting as a wide receiver, just because,
less likely that I'll notice it.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, why not? I mean, it'd be nice to see if he flashed a little bit right away in his first game. I'll be curious to see how they rotate him in. It is still his first game, and he's always going to be a rotational guy anyway.
If he's got just even like a little bit of juice, and a Minshew might be back in a couple of weeks, I mean, you might be looking at the best defensive line in football. And I don't say that lightly, because I think that might be, from a pass rush perspective, it's been the Giants all year. But the Chiefs have been, obviously, in that range or near that range a good chunk of the year. I mean, if Uche's got even like a little bit of that 2 years ago version of himself to go with some of the other, like to go Turk Wharton and Chris Jones and George Karloftis or Felix Anudike Uzama, if you got another fresh body who can get to the quarterback in pure pass rushing situations before a Minshew comes back, this is the deepest defensive line in the league. I mean, just like that. It's a good defensive line now. It's the deepest in the league. If Uche's got a little bit of juice and a Minshew comes back, okay.
Yeah, they went and made the move to strengthen already what was the strength. And the key part is depth. I mean, this year, the injury bug has really hit them more than in prior years. That's why it's so difficult to go back-to-back, why it's impossible, seemingly, to go three-peat. You got to have depth, and it's been tested. And so they've been forced to make moves. We saw that with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I don't know if they actually make that trade if Juju doesn't get hurt. I really don't. Even though I think they needed to, but I don't know if they actually pull that off. The Uche move and these moves that they've been making are because of depth and injury concerns more than anything, in my opinion.
And I apologize. Despite the pressure numbers being okay, Kansas City ranks a lot worse than I would have thought. Now, played one less game, two less games than some teams in the NFL. So important to note is I give you this stat that versus half the league, they've played two less games versus the other half of the league, they've played one less game. The Chiefs currently ranked fourth worst in the NFL in total team sacks with only 15. The leading team in the league, the New York Giants, has 35. So 20 better. So they're not going to make that up in two games, certainly on that end. But I just, like, I look at their pass rush and I'm like, okay, it's been effective. There's no doubt about that. Especially effective with Chris Jones. But they need just one or two more bodies who finish the job getting to the quarterback. Look, if they get, because of the two less games they played, they'd rank somewhere near the top 10. They would not be a laughing stock, right? Six more sacks would put them at 21. That'd put them top 10 in the league as it sits. So I do think that they're a mediocre sack team, but Chris Jones is a monster. And if Uche's got a little life, yeah, I kind of want to see that. I'm paying close attention to Uche tonight. He's one of the few players where I'm like, I want to see exactly what it is you bring to the table. Because that's not a player I've watched a ton of leading up to this point. You, I assume you didn't watch much of Uche tape.
Not a lot of Patriots games here recently that were intriguing to watch, other than when the Chiefs played them last year. Chiefs played them last year in a game which Kansas City, I think, blew them out, if I'm not mistaken.
So I guess he didn't stand out in that game to you?
No, don't remember anything about that game.
I didn't remember. I mean, I assume the Chiefs won. It's getting harder to remember those meaningless regular season games, you know? As time goes on.
Yeah.
Someone says they need 9 points from D-Hop tonight in fantasy. Am I going to get it? I don't know. Is it a PPR?
Yeah, if it's PPR, you're good. They won by 10 last year in December.
Only 10?
If it's PPR, I think you're good. If it's not, it could be a little bit of a sweat. Yeah, Bailey Zappi was the quarterback.
Oh,
Rashee Rice had 9 catches for 91.
No wonder I ignored that game. Bailey Zappi in December?
I was trying to see if
Uche got a sack or something.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to pull.
He only had like 3 last year.
Did he play?
He was hurt for part of the season.
I don't think he played. Oh, there we go. One tackle.
Dynamite effort.
But he's going up against the Chiefs, you know, so, you know. It's fine. It's all good.
You realize, I mean, I think Vern probably had it right. Somewhere during the playoff run, he's like, we should be more braggadocious as a city about it. We don't rub it in enough people's faces.
Oh, that's where the three-peat. I mean, we should already be doing it.
Rub it in their faces.
We should already be doing it, but that's where that's the three-peat. If this team three-peats, as we've said the last week or so, that's when it's the ultimate middle finger. I don't care what you ever say to me when it comes to the NFL and my team and anything ever again.
No. Little NFL news, Adam Schefter reporting quarterback Dak Prescott is expected to miss several weeks, with a hamstring injury per a source. He is seeking a second opinion to confirm the best treatment options.
I don't know if they start selling, but Jalen Tolbert is a wide receiver that potentially, I don't know if...
No offense, why the hell wouldn't they sell? They are 2-7. They are 5 games back in their division. They are 3 games back of a playoff spot in the NFC, and they stink. This is the biggest, like we talk on the side, the single biggest expectation versus reality on the negative end is Dallas, and on the positive end is Washington. Mm-hmm. Those are the two biggest surprises of the NFL season. Washington is way, 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 way better than most people thought they were going to be, and Dallas is way, 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 way worse than most people thought they were going to be. Those are the two biggest surprises of the year, are they not?
Yeah, there'd be some people that would probably tell you they thought the Cowboys were going to stink, but not to this level. They're about to be a 7-win football team, it looks like, with the injury to Dak. Like, they might be a 7-win team when this thing is all done. Cooper Rush is going
to
be... Why even start Cooper Rush? Honestly, at this point, start... what's his name down there? Just because at least that's entertaining. The guy they traded with the Niners for.
Trey Lance.
Thank you. Yeah,
I got Trey. That was pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you were about to say Trey Young, weren't you? Because that's what was that was. I'll be honest.
I don't know what I was going to say. All I had was Trey. I was Rolodexing for the last name.
Trey Lance. Might as well start.
How
him
bad is Trey Lance? He can't even get in over Cooper Rush.
Next 3 games. What do they have to lose if you're the Cowboys? Start Trey Lance.
I mean,
paid Dak. He's always worried about a quarterback controversy. You might as well. If Trey Lance was good, maybe you'd be able to trade him in the offseason and get something for him. The Cowboys are officially a dumpster fire.
What did you say the record is? Cody?
3-5.
And CeeDee Lamb got hurt, too, in the game. I don't know what his injury status is. He also was
And they have
injured.
No Brandon Cooks because he got hurt, too.
The most recent report is that he avoided serious injury.
And Zeke was...
Doesn't mean he'll play next week.
Zeke didn't even make the trip because he didn't show up to practice on time. I mean, they're just that organization.
You know who had it right? Once again, Alex Smith, former Kansas City Chief. He was on NFL Live or Countdown or whatever this weekend. And his stance on the Cowboys was, they have to just stop running. And he's like, I know how ludicrous that sounds. It's meaningless. They can't run the ball to save their life. They could have had Kareem Hunt or a million other decent on-the-street running backs. And instead, they're rolling out the corpse of Ezekiel Elliott. And then they brought in the other corpse of Dalvin Cook and thought, well, this will probably solve it.
Yeah, they can't protect Dak either. I mean, the whole team's a mess. That defense, they lost Dan Quinn as their coordinator. The whole defense is a mess.
I know the running backs fall off, but Dalvin Cook's fall off has been steep.
It's how it normally goes, unless your name is Derrick Henry and Adrian Peterson, honestly. Like, that's usually how this thing goes. What makes Derrick Henry getting his 100th career touchdown yesterday that much more impressive?
I mean, how Joe Mixon's 30-31, and he's putting up 180 yards for the Texans in games.
Yeah, I put them in just a different category. Joe Mixon was never peak anywhere near those guys. Correct. But I hear you. Yes, Joe Mixon is 28. So he's still 2 years younger.
And I think he's the same age as Dalvin, actually.
Is Dalvin Cook 28?
I think he's I think he's 29.
No,
I think
he's 37.
I think
he's 29.
He's 20. Yeah, he's 29. I've looked this up before. He's 29.
Dalvin Cook, of course.
Todd Gurley's probably like 24.
Dalvin Cook had a stretch of 4 1,000-yard seasons.
That's the only player they're missing. They
from 24 to 27, and then just fell off.
Todd Gurley might be like 30. Oh,
not even
like,
kidding. Todd Gurley's only 30 years old.
That's crazy.
He hasn't mattered in the NFL in 2 decades somehow. Man, and he is only 30. Just turned 30 in August, by the way. He's like, he was pretty much Dalvin Cook's age.
Yeah, that's sad to see how quickly he fell off. Because, I mean, that fact that he's just now 30, Todd Gurley was incredible.
He hasn't been in the league in a few years.
For like 2 years, man.
He had 3,000-yard seasons and then fell off. Was Offensive Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year.
Led
all
the
pro
league in
twice.
Rushing touchdown, had a 2,000-yard from scrimmage year.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Injuries will get you, man.
It's running.
He's been out of the league since 2020.
He hasn't. I mean, he's
been 4 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Random question.
That's why I never blame players for holding out. He got paid at least. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. On the text line 913-586-7965. A very simple into the algorithm explanation of a food item. So the very simple question of, would you eat this, is what I am curious about today. So hit us up, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, TheFan965. You can subscribe, like, or review our channels. Would you eat this? It was pre-packaged bacon. Good start, right? Just regular sliced bacon.
Okay.
Flavored. Not kidding. This is a real item with Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I bet you that tastes pretty good. Yeah.
You said yes. Yeah.
I think you would try it.
Yeah, why wouldn't I try that? I mean, bacon is delicious, and then a little cinnamon flavor on top of it. This is how Hormel's come out with this thick-cut bacon. Yeah, I would try it.
You're interested.
It looks weird to see the Cinnamon Toast Crunch logo
on bacon?
On a packet of bacon, like the packaging. But yeah, what's this run? Buy now. Let's see. I'm on the website. Buy now. Find nearby. Out of stock at a Walmart. $5.98. But it's out of stock near us.
We're gonna cook up some bacon for...
Put it in the microwave. We even do a microwave if we have to for the work situation.
Microwave bacon?
We're at work.
This is no way to live.
We
can bake it. That's how I make bacon. We can just put it on a cookie sheet.
We're at work, though. Just put it in the microwave and let us try it. Yeah, I would prefer to put it on a Blackstone, honestly. Let's drag out the Blackstone.
But we have an oven.
For work purposes, I'd say we just pop them in the microwave and then give it a try. It's bacon with cinnamon flavoring. It can't be that bad.
Someone says candy bacon is delicious. I bet it's good. From the 785, would eat, duh. I thought there was going to be more pushback on this.
Are you on the fence?
Sounds gross.
What part?
Really?
Cinnamon? Bacon? What part's gross?
You know what? Maybe it's just like the sugary cereal part of it coupled with bacon feels like an odd combo to me.
Do you like bacon?
I do.
Do you like cinnamon as a flavor?
Sure. Yeah.
Do you like French toast as well? Like even a maple syrup flavor?
Sure.
So what's the issue here?
I think the fact that it's
the labeling
is
getting me.
The label's weird.
Because if I said Lucky Charms cinnamon or Lucky Charms bacon, you're not as in.
Cinnamon. I think cinnamon flavoring on bacon is good.
It definitely is the cereal aspect of it that is throwing you off.
Max over on YouTube says, yes, Austin would. I mean, it seems like across the board.
Perfect. Someone says the perfect breakfast. 2 slices of bacon and a cinnamon roll.
I'm also being accused. Phantom over on Twitch is like, microwave bacon is fine. It's like,
It depends how much time. Are you trying to get out real quick for the kids or whatever?
I don't have time to cook the bacon, I'm not eating it.
Interesting.
It is either on the stovetop or in the oven or it's not getting made.
Stovetop is how I do bacon all the time.
I have lived 40 years in this life and I have never personally microwaved a piece of bacon once.
Yeah, I mean, if we're asking what's better, Of course not in the microwave, like most things.
Yeah, like a Hot Pocket be better in the oven.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's a Hot Pocket. It's designed as microwave food.
Yeah.
Maybe this is also where, could you air fry bacon? I don't have an air fryer. I don't know.
I'm sure I could.
Probably, yeah.
I should try that. I bet it'd be great.
That just opened up your world. Like,
I bet it'd be great. Yeah, I haven't. You can air fry just about anything. So, yeah, why wouldn't you be able to air fry?
Hash browns actually is really good.
Someone says,
I've never had a hash brown at home. Like, you know what I mean?
Like a frozen hash brown?
Yeah.
I've had hash browns, like, well, you know, shredded.
Sure. Not at home, though.
Toss some frozen hash browns into the air fryer and they're good.
Like, I'm thinking of are you talking about, like...
I'm thinking just, like, scattered and smothered.
Scattered,
you know.
Yes. I'm thinking, are you talking about, like, it's already, a chunk?
No, I'm talking...
Because what Cody's mentioning, I've done it on the stove before. Hash browns are incredible. I thought you were talking about, like, a frozen puck.
No,
you're
really
putting
that
in the air fryer.
I mean, you could buy those at Costco or something, though.
You probably could, but no, and it's not the puck.
So this is air fryer, best way to make the bacon.
I think here's the problem that's getting me, is that if I reverse it, I'm out. Does that make... So, like, if I had a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and someone's like, I'll just sprinkle a bunch of bacon on top, I'd be like, pass. I don't want that. Right? That doesn't...
Bacon. I agree.
I think it's the reverse sounds no good.
I agree.
So I'm stuck on the inverse making sense.
Hmm.
But it sounds like you're in. You know?
They're just putting the dusting... of like Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the bacon. Yeah.
It might be a ratio thing. A lot of people saying sweet bacon goes great with Bloody Marys, all the time, and then everyone else telling us that we should have been air frying breakfast food this whole time.
Just air fry frozen Uncrustables. What? Huh?
Your whole life's about to be changed, it sounds like.
A little extra crunch on the outside, maybe?
I'm trying to think how that would taste. Air fried Uncrustable. Somebody obviously just decided, somebody just literally one day was like, I'll just put a bunch of random food in the air fryer and see how it tastes.
See what happens.
So a lot of people saying they would air fry you some bacon right now if you would take the one punch for $965 for the show fund.
I thought the one punch from Mike Tyson meant I got
just from any listener,
10,
actually. Any listener. Or if you're not confident with a listener, Drew or I, maybe that makes you feel better.
How are you going to get Mike Tyson to punch me? Oh, $965 from just one person?
Uh-huh.
Just one
for charity. One good punch.
But I got to put the mask on?
Yeah, you get the headgear on, so we're not trying to knock you out.
I got to put a cup on. They don't get to, like, change their punch.
No, you don't have to put a cup on. Nobody's going to. No. Yeah, it has to be the face. But you have the headgear on, glasses off. You're not getting cut or anything.
Okay.
You still could break your nose.
Oh, so
still could break your jaw, I guess.
So you're not going for the hook. You're going for the straight at the nose.
The jab?
Punch, yeah.
I think if you want power, you're going for the hook.
The power is definitely the hook. It depends. For the charity, I hope you're not trying to do actual damage. You're
the
just trying to
haymaker,
say you punched him in the face. And
just
so
get
you,
a video of and, me in slow motion taking a punch to the face.
Yeah.
I'm guessing if you got a good enough punch, you could knock me out.
Text line says the punch has to be from Mike Tyson.
For the 10,000, fine.
I don't know how we're arranging that one.
For the Spags bust, I'll do it. But, you know, you're going to have to get Mike Tyson here, which seems like a challenge.
Don't think that's possible. That is the random question of the day. Up next, let's get back into Michael Wacha's extension. What does that actually mean for Brady Singer and the rest of the lineup and the disappointing weekend for local college football?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.